This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN Radio, produced by Pete Zimmerman. Terry Savage is our Wednesday guest, and today she is in our studio. She'll be here the full hour, so 312-981-7200. Your questions, comments, observations, it's all about your money with Terry Savage. Should we just, Terry, I know you got a lot of ground to cover with us today, but just let you explode a little bit, finish that thought you were having about what Steve Alexander was talking about?
Look, I recognize that everybody is jealous that billionaires, A, have billions. Me too. I'd like billions. I don't think it would change my personal lifestyle too much. I mean, I'm very blessed to live the way I want to live. But the fact is, that's their stock. They started companies. The market has taken stocks to new heights. By the way, it may take them to new depths if we have another bear market, and we will. And they are not spending those billions. It's just a number on a screen. Now, it's like if you bought your house in 1973 for $125,000 and you still live there, aren't you so happy to know your house is worth a million something now? Do you think they should send you a bill for the appreciation of your house every year? Absolutely not. These people aren't spending this money. The stock value is great because it lets them invest in future other things. But what if you tax them today and the market goes down 20% next year? Is the government giving it back? What's the incentive to create wealth when it's all a phantom? It's one thing if they were buying yachts. They take money out, sell stock, they pay capital gains. They take a salary, they pay ordinary income taxes. Should their tax rates be higher? Maybe if you're taking out millions of dollars a year, we have a progressive tax.
But we're talking about billionaires, not people whose houses have appreciated to $1 million.
But the principle is this. If you destroy the incentive for people to create wealth, what are you going to get? If
Does that destroy the incentive for people to create wealth if you go after a little more of their liquid assets?
Yeah, it did in Russia in 1917. It did in Cuba in the 50s.
The IRS has the right to, the federal government, via the 16th Amendment, I think it is, has the right to tax income.
But so it's not income.
Well,
Tesla or Facebook declares a stock dividend, $1 a share, and he owns 1 million shares, then there's $1 million of stock dividend income, and that is taxed. That's fair game. But just because your house or that downtown building appreciated in value doesn't mean that it's liquid money. How do you think he's going to pay that? He's going to sell shares. And then all of you who have Tesla in your IRA or 401k plan or in your mutual fund, that stock will collapse. And every other stock that's gone up,
it's an interesting point.
Because if the founders are going to be taxed on the shares they still own and haven't planned to sell and are just glad that their business is thriving, they're going to have to sell stock to pay the tax. And there goes the stock market.
Well, maybe we report too much then, or covet too much then, as you started to say, the wealth of these people. Because we hear billions and hundreds of billions of dollars, and there seems to be something wrong or unfair about that.
As a billionaire, Literally, this is a savage truth, once said to me when I commented, this is maybe 20 years ago, about appreciating value of this company. He said to me, Terry, it could be lollipops instead of dollars. What matters is the accomplishment of doing this. And in the process of doing this, our company created so many jobs, not only the people that work directly for us, but the people that supply our company. And because this was a technology person, and because of our technology, we have improved so many lives. So it's not the dollars at a certain point. It could be lollipops. It's the growth incentives that keep America moving forward.
I'm not arguing with you, Terry, but I'll ask you to just respond to one more thing. One of the reasons that this is in play is because means to fund the president's spending plan have been shot down by Congress left and right. So they said, okay, how about this? They keep throwing stuff against the wall, hoping one of these things will stick. This one sounds unfair to me, too, in principle.
Well, you never give up principle because it turns into reality. And as I also learned many years ago, it's not the imposition of the tax, it's the burden of the tax that matters. So, just quickly, you tax a corporation for whatever reason. They pass that tax on to their customers, whether it's a tariff that you put up for their imported raw materials, taxes are a cost that get passed on to customers. The burden of the tax on billionaires is not going to fall on the billionaires, because if they're going to pay the tax, the only way they can do it is to sell the shares, which, when everybody knows that people like Elon Musk, et cetera, are going to be forced to sell, everybody's going to sell Facebook and Tesla, regardless of how many cars they're going to sell or what you think about what's on the pages of Facebook. Everybody's going to know, oh my God, there's a huge holding. These guys are the billionaires. They're going to be forced to sell to pay the tax. Sell, sell, sell. And you will watch those stocks collapse. And there goes your mutual fund that's in your 401k that's making you feel so good about retirement.
Do you think the billionaires in this country are paying their fair share of whatever their contribution should be?
I think there's some quirks in the tax law that allow billionaires not to have to sell their shares to buy their yachts. They can borrow the money from their companies they can borrow the money using the stock of their company as collateral and even maybe deduct the interest.
Donald Trump did that a lot.
A lot. Let me give one example closer to home. It must be 35 years ago, we put a luxury tax on things like yachts. And I remember saying this on this station those years ago. Listen, what's Mr. Rich going to say to Mrs. Rich? Darling, you're just going to have to live with the old yacht. I'm not buying a new yacht because there's a 15% tax. So she said, oh, darn. Well, okay. But other people stopped buying yachts. And in Brunswick Corporation, which was right up here in Wisconsin across the state line, the shares collapsed. They almost went bankrupt because they built boats that were not ocean-going yachts, and people didn't buy them because they didn't want to pay the luxury tax. And who suffered? All the electricians, the carpenters, the upholsterers that built the boats. That was a really huge disaster. The luxury tax was meant to hit the rich, mm-hmm. but the burden of the tax went to all the people that really got hit. So they're not thinking straight about
not.
This tax.
And we have to pause.
Okay.
But
that's the end of this Terry Savage truth rant.
But the John Williams question rant continues. At some point, I think I'm speaking for some people out there who just feel like those uber rich are getting away with something, and they just wish that they'd feel a little more ownership or participation in our federal spending here. And that's what bothers people. So, yeah, maybe this is a stupid way to fix that.
Well, they have one other idea, the corporate alternative minimum tax. So no corporation gets away with. Yeah, there are a lot of things in the tax code you could fix. But one of the things you don't want to do is destroy the basic incentives. Think you're getting at 12 billionaires or 32 or however many there are, when the impact is really going to be felt broadly across the economy.
Terry Savage is in the studio. Who did you invite onto the telephone, Ms. Savage?
Well, the truth is that anybody who picks up the phone and gets a call from the FBI probably has a mild heart attack. I just start smiling because typically it's from my friend, Siobhan Johnson, who is the FBI spokesperson in Chicago. And she helped me with a column that I just posted at terrysavage.com about the cutting edge of identity theft. You know, we've been through all these phases. First, it was don't let anyone look over your shoulder and see your PIN number. Don't write it on your card. That's so quaint. That was only 5, 6, 8 years ago. That was how you lost your identity. Or don't talk to a stranger on the phone at night. Now, we all know how to hang up. But identity theft has moved from, well, we saw what went on at the unemployment offices earlier this year, very sophisticated stuff. And the latest is phishing. P-H-I-S-H-I-N-G, you've probably seen it, for information. The real crisis in identity theft now is the stuff you give out unknowingly, either because you respond to an email, or even worse, because you respond unthinkingly to a text. Siobhan is going to join us and tell us how that works.
Talk to us about,
Now my turn. Talk to us about that. Siobhan, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. So these days, we are seeing scammers creeping into people's phones and into their computers. A lot of people don't realize that phishing has increased so exponentially in the last few years. Just in 2016, we saw maybe 19,000 cases. This year, we saw 240-ish thousand cases. That is a huge increase.
What do they do? How does it work?
Well, we have some situations. I know Terry and I have spoken before where people might send out, cast a wide net, text messages that claim to be from legitimate organizations. So, for example, we have seen them from the IRS or Department of Unemployment. That is what they'll say they are. They'll get you to click on something, and they can introduce malware onto your system or try to get you to a fake website. And right now, it's the website everyone should be concerned about here.
The website, why is that?
Well, we have a new alert out through our Internet Crime Complaint Center. We have identified 7 websites, one of which targets Illinoisans, and they are claiming that they are the proper place for you to apply for your unemployment benefits.
Oh.
So you might see illiform-gov.xyz. Don't go there. That's not the correct place to put your benefits information in. Like, the clever thing here is that when you're going to apply for your unemployment benefits, you expect to put in private, sensitive information, so your guard is down. But you're on the wrong site, and so once you've put it in, they have some of the most important numbers and information about you that really makes it easy to steal your information.
But we know people have been in Illinois getting ripped off all year long, all last year when we were talking about unemployment benefits.
Mm-hmm.
Is this related to that in any way?
You know, I think it's the same subject, but most likely different actors. The sad fact of it is that everyone knows that based on the pandemic, there are going to be certain things that people are going to do. Lots of people are out of work, so of course they're going to need unemployment benefits. And that means it's just really a rich target for anyone with a little bit of know-how and nefarious intentions to really go after. So our job is to figure out who's doing what and to stop it quickly and hopefully get people's money back.
So what is it? Have you seen this, Terry? What does it look like this
time? You know, Siobhan, you told me when we did this, when I was writing this column, that a big target is seniors because, well, explain why. It's not because they're old and not so techie, is it?
Well, I mean, it's partially because people don't necessarily have that native, just decades-old skill and access to computers. That's part of it. It's because, really, seniors have this huge nest egg. That's the impression a lot of us have. So if you're going to go after someone, you want to make sure it's someone who actually has money to steal.
Right, right.
Also,
yeah.
People don't want to be seen as inept. As we get older, the concern is that your family is going to think that you can't handle your business anymore, and you're going to lose that agency that you had. I would be afraid of that as well, but if you don't report these crimes, we can't do anything about it.
Siobhan Johnson's on a phone line, the spokesperson for the FBI here in Chicago. She's been on with me before. We were talking about the people that are wanted or missing, but how do I recognize this website then? If there are these websites targeting Illinoisans, how do I know which one's legit and which one isn't, Siobhan?
Okay, this is a huge red flag. The website specifically that we're looking at right now is not a .gov. So, for example, the FBI's website is fbi.gov. That's how you know it's a government site. This site ends in .xyz.
Really? I thought you were just making that up. I mean, that does sound fishy, doesn't it?
It does, but what if you're not looking specifically? You come up to this website that seems to look okay, and you don't necessarily look at the end of the URL. You need money. You need it fast. You have a lot of stress, and sometimes we just slip. So if you're looking closely at the URL, you see .xyz, you should stop. Obviously, that's a problem. You want to make sure that you can see the little padlock symbol that's up there on the left side of your URL. That means that your website is going to be locked down. You don't want to click on anything you find in emails that are unsolicited. So you know you need unemployment benefits, but I mean, stop and think, how did the government
they know
to right?
reach out to me? Yeah.
Exactly. But a lot of people, it's the stress of not having money that changes our perception of what's happening. Take a second, take a deep breath, and really examine the website you're going to.
All right. And a lot of it is commercial. It'll look like it's from your bank. All the banks, they're coming up with these fake things that look like the logos. So what happens if you just delete? Should you worry? I mean, why not just delete without thinking anything that you know? It's easy. If you don't have a Wells Fargo account and they say your account's overdrawn, send money, you know you're going to delete that. Any words on that? And then I want you to give us... You gave me some statistics about the fact that if you aren't too embarrassed to report it, you might get your money back.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch produced by Pete Zimmerman. 312-981-7200 is our number. Call now, text as well. You got a question or a comment for Terry Savage, the financial columnist in the studio for the rest of this hour. We'll get to your call if you've got a question now. Let's finish our conversation with Siobhan Johnson. She's a spokesperson for the FBI here in Chicago. Terry, you know Siobhan, and Siobhan, you're still on the phone line with us. Just let's finish the conversation about these phishing scams, and it's not just that you get a text or a call anymore. There's actually fake websites people are inadvertently or accidentally, unwittingly uploading information to. I think the two of you are making the point before the break that if you do see that, if they're attempting to get you with that, don't be embarrassed or ashamed that you've got a question or that you've been a victim, you got to let them know, right?
That's absolutely right. We can't do anything for you if we aren't able to understand that there's been an incident in the first place. We actually have a really interesting team called the Recovery Asset Team. And in their first year of operation, they were able to recover a 75% of the funds that were lost. So I think that that is just a hugely positive thing for people out there to know. There are ways to get some of that money back. So let's jump on this quickly and see what we can do.
I am shocked to hear that.
Oh, yeah. I was shocked, too. There are a lot of these scams that say ask you to wire transfer. So if you use your own credit card, then you have protections. But if they ask you to go to the bank and get a card, a gift card, a debit card, load up something from your bank, then the money is gone. What fascinates me that Siobhan said was that if you will call immediately, when you suddenly realize, oh, my gosh, this is what I just did. How do you do that? How do you report? Siobhan, I think people are afraid. I know the number, 1-800-CALL-FBI. Mm-hmm. But then was it just a voicemail or will people really respond?
Well, people will really respond. So when you call that number, you are going to come to a phone tree, which I know nobody likes. But it helps us direct your call to the specialist for that particular issue. So as you make your way through, you'll get to a person and you can report what has actually happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever we get a tip, we also make sure that we have two supervisors review it. That's not just rank and file. Two individual supervisors review everything to make sure that we are making the right call. So people are absolutely going to see everything that comes in.
And one last thing then. Here in Chicago, you said there's this website that ends in XYZ, starts with ILLI, and it looks like something from the state. That's the one that's hot right now? That's the one that you're noticing?
That's exactly right. It's illiform-gov.xyz. So you can see they tried to make it look legitimate by using the letters GOV for government. Don't be fooled by that. Something that I haven't recommended before, but I would like to put out there, is if you're unsure if it's a legitimate website that you should be looking at, you don't want to ask friends and family because you're embarrassed, go to your local library and talk to a librarian, get their opinion. They actually have research librarians who are really well trained to get the right information from whatever source you have. So that's just another resource people can use so that they don't feel embarrassed.
Okay, Siobhan, well done. Nice that
Thank you, Siobhan, are here
and doing what you're doing.
Yeah, I've got all that information, by the way, up at terrysavage.com, including that important number, 1-800-CALL-FBI. I think that's the most important thing you can do. If you get emails, we have an email there that you can send to the government and forward this. So you can do, if it relates to taxes, phishing@irs.gov, just forward it. But I think, Siobhan, tell me if you agree before you leave. You know how the drug campaign was just say no?
Mm-hmm.
I think this campaign should be just don't click.
Oh,
just
I like that.
Don't click. Or I always have this rule for everything live, radio, and TV. When in doubt, don't.
Don't, yeah.
Exactly. But just don't click. You won't miss anything if you delete it. You won't miss anything if you hang up on that phone call. If it's legit, you can check it out later with you initiating a call to your bank. Mm-hmm. You can initiate a call to the electric utility where they say your bill is overdue.
Mm-hmm.
Don't respond. Just don't click and just hang up.
Such good advice in its entirety. And thank you for putting it out there. You're doing a great service to the people.
Thanks, Siobhan. And so is the FBI.
Oh, thank you. All right, you all have a good day.
That's Siobhan Johnson from the FBI. Yeah, I think the advice that some of the quote-unquote experts we've had on lately also said, ask your grandkids. There's
yes.
the grandparent yeah. scam where it says, Grandma, this is me. I'm stuck at the airport.
I need money.
Hang up and call your grandkid. It's not your grandkids. With the exception of the one, so now somewhere there's a grandkid at an airport that really needs money. That's my fear, by the way, is that when I do get some of these things, sometimes they do look so legit.
That's
I think
everybody's fear. That's why they work.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't do it. Just don't click.
312-981-7200. Okay, Terry, typically we take calls and read texts from listeners. So here's your chance to jump in now with your maybe less gigantic issue, but it's a tax, it's an unemployment or an employment question, it's an investment question. 312-981-7200. We'll take your calls and texts now. First, let's go into the WGN Radio Newsroom. We've got more business news with Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's has entered into a strategic partnership with IBM to develop artificial intelligence technology that will help the fast food chain automate its drive-through lanes. IBM will acquire McD Tech Labs, but the companies have not disclosed financial terms of the transaction. The technology uses AI to understand drive-through orders. McDonald's tested the tech in a handful of Chicago restaurants this summer, and it showed substantial benefits, according to the company, to customers and employees. Earlier, McDonald's reported stronger than expected sales in the third quarter, boosted by larger orders and higher prices on the menu. Revenue jumped 14%. Same-store sales rose 12.7%. West suburban Addison is being recognized as one of 10 cities to win the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation's Culture of Health Award. The prize honors communities for working at the forefront of advancing health, opportunity, and equity. Addison was specifically recognized for bringing together health partnerships involving its library, workforce agency, school district, and other community organizations. The city will get a $25,000 prize. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
With the business of food, here's Steve Alexander.
Let's go to the ground and see how the harvest is going, and it's going pretty well, a pretty good clip, at least it was, until the weekend storms put combines in the shed. The USDA said as of Sunday, the corn harvest in Illinois was 78% complete, nationwide about 66%, both well ahead of the five-year averages. Soybeans are a different story, though. Illinois combines are 68% done, and that's about 10% behind the five-year average. And we've talked often about the importance of drivers keeping an eye out for slow-moving farm equipment on country roads during harvest. But there is another hazard out there this time of year.
Yes, actually, deer.
That's Maria Castaneda with the Illinois Department of Transportation. And yes, now through December is deer mating season, peak time for accidents between vehicles and deer. In fact, the leading county in Illinois for vehicle deer accidents is right here.
So last year, there were 469 accidents in Cook County, which, you know, to many people, I'm sure, is a surprise.
Yep, lots of deer in Cook County, especially around those forest preserves. Statewide, there were nearly 14,000 accidents involving property damage last year. 611 people were killed in deer crashes. And the experts say we should do what does not come naturally when a deer jumps in front of our moving car. Don't veer.
It's your instinct to swerve to try to avoid the deer, but by swerving suddenly, it could cause you to lose control of the car and travel into the path of another vehicle.
And the other thing which most of us would naturally do after hitting a deer is to jump out of the car and take a look. Don't do it.
Any injured animal could definitely be unpredictable.
And it isn't just roads where these deer are causing problems. This year, like nearly every harvest, we hear reports of deer getting tangled up in corn pickers. That is just as unfortunate and traumatic as it sounds. Be careful out there. Chicago Board of Trade, it's been all over the board today. Double-digit up and now down for soybeans, off about a half a penny at $12.47 a bushel. Corn is up 12 cents a bushel at $5.55. That's up about 2.25%. And wheat's up about 1%, $6 higher at $7.59. From the farm to your belly, today is American Beer Day. And in the four states around Lake Michigan, the most beer is brewed in, well, I would have guessed Wisconsin. Michigan is number one, followed closely by Wisconsin, Illinois, a distant third, and Indiana, an even more distant fourth. That's the business of food and beer and deer on 720 WGN.
Terry, let's start with Roxanne. You're on WGN. Roxanne, what can we do for you? You're on the air.
Hi. I just had a question. I have a beneficiary IRA that has a required distribution every year. And I think last year we were not required to take that distribution. And so I'm wondering, are we going to be required this year to take it? And are we going to be required to take a double distribution
if
we didn't take it?
Okay, so you inherited that IRA, Roxanne, presumably?
I did.
Okay, well, there's two things involved here. And you should speak to the custodian, the Fidelity or Vanguard or the bank, wherever this IRA is. Number one, yeah, you did not have to take an RMD, required minimum distribution, last year. You do this year for the year 2021, so you got to do it in the next 8 weeks. You don't have to take a double one. But there's another rule that now applies to inherited IRAs, and that is that you must fully empty out the account within 10 years. It used to be you could stretch it out over the rest of your lifetime. They changed that a little over a year ago. So you should be talking with your IRA, the plan custodian. You should take that distribution. You should ask them to withhold taxes. So if you're taking $100,000 and you remember that you were in the 30% bracket, then have them withhold the $30,000, and so you'll get a net check for $70,000. You'll declare the whole $100,000 as income, but they will send you a statement saying we withheld taxes in the amount of $30,000. Otherwise, you're going to get very surprised in April and have to come up with a hunk of money.
Okay. And does it make a difference what age I am? Because I am... I'll be 64 by the end of the year, so I...
Well, it's interesting now. It didn't... I'm not sure what rules your IRA is operating under because it's inherited. And that's why, and they've changed those. Theoretically, if the person who died was already taking distributions, so it was your mother or father, for example, and they were already taking distributions, you have to continue to take distributions. But you also have this big chopping block hanging over your head. In the last year, whatever's left of the 10th year, you're going to have to take it all out, declare it as income that year. So think about this. You're 64. By then, you'll be 74. And let's just say there's $80,000 left after you've taken the RMDs from your inherited IRA. In that 10th year, if there's $80,000 left, they're going to dump it all on you. And it will not only, you'll pay taxes on that, but it might increase your Medicare Part B cost because you moved into a higher income bracket, just depending on what's left and what the levels are at that point. So you need to do a little planning now about the best way. You want to keep it growing, tax deferred as long as possible. Yes, because probably they were taking distributions. Yeah. You have to continue. But talk to the plan custodian about a plan so you don't get 1 year where you get a hunk of money and it really messes up other parts of your life.
Roxanne, good luck. I'm glad you called. And this is Jill. You're on WGN. Jill, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm calling to find out, I'm going to be retiring at the end of next month, and I'd like to know, I'm going to be 64 and a half, I'll be 65 in April. I'd like to know if I should start taking Social Security at 65, or would I be better off waiting until I'm 56.6 months?
Two key points here. You must. I refuse to. First of all, congratulations on your retirement. How great you feel that good. Yeah. You do not have my permission to start taking Social Security until your full retirement age. Don't worry about this year's cost of living. You'll have an 8% higher, or maybe more than that because it's a year and a half. You'll have a much higher base on which future cost of living increases will be added. So do not take it until your full retirement age. However, I have a question for you. You're going to have 6 months where, if you're retired, you don't have health insurance. Are you doing COBRA from your current employer?
Well, here's the deal. My current employer offers me insurance, but I pay the whole thing myself, 100% of it myself. So I'm able to stay with that policy. And then,
I'm going to give you a sneak preview of my next column. It's about, forget Medicare and open enrollment, that's a different topic. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare, healthcare.gov, for 2022 has new huge premium subsidies, and even people with more income than they previously qualified will be able to get one of these policies. So here's what you should do. Let's just say your employer's plan that you're paying for, you're going to pay for the next 4 months. It's going to cost you $1,000 a month. I want you to go to healthcare.gov. It'll be my next column coming up. And say, hey, next year, my income's going to be pretty I'm going to live on my savings because I'm not taking Social Security. I'm only going to have 4 months of income. I'll have very low income. Show me your best gold plan with all my doctors in it. I'm willing to bet you can call us back next week, that it'll be about a third or a half as much as your employer's plan for those 4 months.
Wow.
Healthcare.gov. Put it in there.
Yeah. Okay. Well, because my employer's plan, I'm paying $1,100.
That's what I figured. Yeah. I'm betting you're not going to wind up paying more than $300 or $400 or $500 in a really good gold plan. So check it out.
Jill, thanks for the call. Terry, is it a 10-year limit from this year since the law is new, or from when you actually receive the inherited IRA?
Well, ever since the law was enacted, and I can't remember the title of the law, was put in with a whole bunch of stuff about a year ago. Anybody who inherited an IRA after that law was enacted, so sometime in the last year and a half, now has a 10-year window to withdraw it all. You can wait. I mean, if they hadn't already started taking withdrawals, you don't have to start RMDs. But you could wait till the 10th year, and hopefully the market went to, you know, 50,000, and you have a lot more money, and then the tax rates are lower in 10 years. Do you think that's going to happen? I don't. But anyway, you have 10 years to get it all out.
Got about 45 seconds left. Terry, how can I donate some stocks I have had for several years to a church or a charity, and what would the tax consequences be?
Well, especially you can donate it out of an IRA. But even if you have stocks in which you have a gain and don't want to sell and pay the capital gains taxes, there are ways, and your church or charity will help you do that. Donate appreciated stock, and then you say the stock you bought at $2,000 worth $10,000. You're going to get a tax deduction for your contribution of $10,000. And they're not going to have to pay taxes on it, and you won't have to pay taxes.
I thought that the charitable deductions were largely gone for people.
Oh, well, you know, you can itemize if you have a huge charitable deduction, but the main thing is you won't pay capital gains taxes by selling the stock and then donating the proceeds. You can donate the appreciated stock and let the charity take care of it. They won't be taxed. Look, I love coming into the studio, and I'm going to do it more now that all this COVID stuff is...
It's good
you're
see
not
you
making
in person,
me wear a
my
mask.
Friend. No, well, not in the studio. You don't. You go out there in the halls, mask up,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, John.